Badrinath is a place throughout the Vedas celebrated. All the great rishis, sadhus and acharyas of all sampradayas, they all worship this holy place. In fact, it is said in the Puranas that even the name of Badrinath can cleanse one of all sins. Since time immemorial, saints, sadhus, and sincere spiritual seekers have taken great efforts to go to get the blessings of the Lord and to be purified. It is described in Srimad Bhagavatam that when Lord Sri Krishna was about to leave this world, he had decided that through a fratricidal war, the entire Yadu dynasty would be destroyed. This was his transcendental plan of bringing them back to the spiritual world with him. And just before he made his departure for the world, his dearmost friend, Uddhava, he instructed him that great holy place, Badrinath, where I am eternally residing, you should go there and worship me. It is also said in the Srimad Bhagavatam that great incarnation of Godhead, Nara-Narayan, incarnated and appeared in the holy land of Badrinath. Now the Lord is called Bhagwan because he possesses all the six opulences in full. Aishwaryasya samagrasya viryasya yashasastya jnana vairagyayostana sanam bhag. Parasara Muni has said that Bhagavan is that supreme person who possesses all strength, all beauty, all knowledge, all wealth, all fame, and all renunciation. So the Lord in his various incarnations, he displays these supreme opulences. Just like Lord Sri Krishna, when he was just a child of 7 years old, he lifted the Govardhan Hill with the little finger of his left hand for 7 days effortlessly. In this way, the Lord showed his supreme opulence of strength. When the Lord appears, he reveals strength that no man or demigod can ever imitate. In the form of Lord Nrsimhadeva also, he displayed his supreme opulence of strength. When Krishna lived in Dwarka, he displayed his supreme opulence of wealth. He simultaneously lived in 16,108 palaces, each one more opulent than that of the King of Heaven. And in each palace he was living with the Goddess of Fortune. Of course, in this world it seems impossible. But Achintya Shakti, the Supreme Absolute Truth, has inconceivable potencies. If he wants, he can effortlessly create 16,108,000 palaces. Because he possesses the supreme opulence of power. Indeed, Krishna says in Gita, Sarvaloka Maheshwaram, all wealth is his. He is the proprietor of everything. All strength is his. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, I am the strength of the strong. He says, I am the intelligence of the intelligent. Knowledge is a great opulence. If he people like God, they go to college and study year after year after year, performing so much sacrifice just to attain the opulence of knowledge. And when they get their PhD and they write some books, they're famous throughout the world as being great scholars. But Krishna says in Gita, Vedaham sanatitani bharatamanani chajana bhavashani chabutani mamduvedana kashtani. He says, I know everything that has happened in the past, all that's happening now. I am within the heart of every living being. And I know everything that will happen in the future. Whose knowledge compares to the knowledge of God? As far as fame, everyone knows God. Who is more famous than God? In every culture, we may have our famous people. Just like here in India, you may have... who's famous in India? Mahatma Gandhi. But in Africa, there are many people who have never heard about Mahatma Gandhi. In America, some people have heard of him. But in 1,000 years, people will forget. In America, we have our George Washington. But most of the world, they've never heard of him. But to speak of in other planets, this little planet is just a little speck in this universe. So what is the extent of even the most famous person in this world? It's insignificant. But everyone has heard of God. Even the atheists, they can't stop talking about how God does not exist. There was a famous movie actress in America, and she said that whether they talk good about me or bad about me, that doesn't matter as long as they're talking about me. As long as they're talking about me, I'll remain famous. So the devotees, they are glorifying God and making Him famous. And the atheists, they are blaspheming God and making Him famous. But in every case, everyone talks about God. Not only in this little planet, but throughout all of the existence. So therefore, the Lord is full in all of His opulences, and He comes to this world to attract our minds back to Him by revealing His opulence. One of the opulences is renunciation. So the Lord appeared in Badrik Ashram to reveal His supreme unparalleled opulence or glory of renunciation, Vairagya. Nara Narayan Rishi was performing such tapasya that nobody could understand how it was possible. And through tapasya, one gets great strength, great power. It is said that a woman, her greatest tapasya is chastity. And when a woman is perfectly chaste, she becomes very powerful. You know the story of Gandhari. Gandhari was such a chaste wife. Dhritarashtra, he was blind. When Gandhari found out she was going to have to marry him, she was thinking that a wife should never think herself better than her husband. And if I can see and she cannot, then I will think I'm better than him. So she bandaged her eyes and she never saw the light of day for the rest of her life. And because of that chastity, she gained such power that even Bhima was scared of her. Even Krishna was scared of her. Bhishma, Duryodhana, Karna, they were willing to go in the battlefield and they felt we could defeat them. But after the battle, after they killed the 100 sons of Gandhari, they were all thinking, oh my God, what will she do to us? And Gandhari, she said to Krishna, you could have stopped this war if you wanted.
Because you allowed this fratricidal war to take place, I curse that your Yadu dynasty will have the same kind of war and they will all be killed too. Of course, she knew that this is what Krishna wanted. Because Krishna had to think of some way to bring everyone back to the spiritual world with him. But this is the power of her tapasya. That she was able to conquer the entire Yadu dynasty and wreak fear in the hearts of Bhima, Yudhisthira, and Arjuna. Although she was a little, simple, old lady. This is the power of tapasya. So when Narada, Narayana, Rishi were performing tapasya, they were performing the supreme tapasya that anyone had ever seen. And thus, they were gaining great, great strength and power. Of course, they already have all strength and power. But to those who were watching, they were thinking, what power they will attain to this tapasya. So Indra, the king of heaven, he became very fearful. He was thinking that I am the king and I have my palace and I have my wife and I have my wealth and I have my followers. If he becomes so powerful, he can come and conquer me and take everything away from me. And I am attached to all these things. Therefore, I have to think of something. A person who is materialistic. He sees anyone that is approaching him as a competitor. A materialistic person is always very anxious to see others go down, if that's the way he can best go up. So Indra was thinking that I have to stop the tapasya of Narada, Narayana, Rishi. And I know exactly how to do it. I did it to Vishwamitra Muni. I did it to Khandu Muni. I have done it to so many others. I have an infallible trick. It's called sex attraction. So he called for Cupid, Kamadev. Kamadev is that demigod who keeps everyone under the influence of the intoxication of sex desire. Sometimes he is pictured with a bow and an arrow. And he shoots that arrow in your heart, and your heart becomes filled with lust, kama. Therefore, he is called Kamadev. He is the Lord of Lust. So, he came to Badrikashram. And he created, by his mystic potencies, the most pleasurable atmosphere imaginable. There were beautiful, beautiful trees growing. And there was spring breezes blowing in the air, carrying the sweetest, freshest fragrance of flowers. And then he brought down the most beautiful of the apsaras, the heavenly damsels, and they began to sing, and the sweetness of their voices could conquer the minds even of the great sages. And they began to dance, and the beautiful, graceful gestures of their bodies were so appealing that no one could resist. And they were all inviting Narada, Narayana, Rishi to enjoy with them. At that time, Narada, Narayana, Rishi, they looked at the apsaras. You could see Kamadev, all of Kamadev's power, everything he had, all of his weapons were all fully being utilized to try to attract the mind of this great avatar. At that time, Narada, Narayana, Rishi began to smile. And from his body, he created beautiful women that were millions of times more beautiful than even the apsaras from the heavenly class. And they were looking, struck with wonder, thinking, my God, what does he need us when from him such beauty is emanating? And Cupid realized that he had committed a great offense, and he became very fearful. And all the apsaras, they all became very frightened. They realized the power, and they surrendered. Narayana Rishi, do not be afraid. I will not harm you, but please know that nothing in this material world can attract me. I am the source of everything that exists. He said, you go back to Indra and you tell him that I could not care less about his heavenly planets. He's so attached to his heavenly planet, his wealth, his power, his palace, his beautiful wife, all of his beautiful dancing girls. To me, it is all disgusting. It is all material. It means nothing. Tell him I have no concern for his heavenly planets. I have no concern for enjoying this material world. In fact, if you like, you can choose any of these beautiful heavenly damsels that I have created, and you can bring it to Indra as a gift from me. So they chose one. Her name was Urvasi. She was the most beautiful amongst all of them. And they went back to Indra. And when Indra heard the news, he became very frightened. Oh my God, what an offense. And then when they gave him Urvasi, he became very happy. And Urvasi became the most celebrated and the most dear of all the apsaras to Lord Indra. So through this story, we can understand the supreme renunciation exhibited by the Supreme Lord in this wonderful form. And we can also understand that all beauty is emanating from Krishna, from Narayana. And therefore, how foolish it is to allow our minds and senses to become attracted to the beauty of this world. It is all temporary, and it is all a source, ultimately, of suffering. Krishna says in Gita, Yehi samsparashcha bhoga dhuka jona evate adyantavanta kumte anateshu namade uta. That an intelligent person does not take pleasure in the contact of the senses and their objects. Such pleasures have a beginning and an end, and so a wise man does not delight in them. But by contacting our mind, our senses, with Krishna, that is yoga. The Sanskrit word yoga means to reunite our consciousness with the supreme source of all consciousness, or Krishna. Krishna says in Gita, param drispani vartate. It is very, very difficult to give up the pleasures of this world. But by experiencing a higher taste, one no longer has any desire for the lower, temporary pleasures of this world. And what is that higher taste? Padma Purana describes, sarva padiva niramuktam tat paratnema niyamulam rishikena rishikesa sevanam bhakti uchite. By engaging our mind and senses, which are now constantly creating bondage in our life, by engaging them in the service of the Lord of the senses, our senses become purified. We become attracted. That love, that bhakti awakens within our heart. And that higher taste makes all the pleasures of this world insignificant. And this is the goal of life. the goal of human life is not simply to wander fruitlessly in this world of illusions, constantly being attracted to the senses and their objects. The Shvetasvatara Upanishad describes that there are like two birds sitting on a tree. One bird is very much anxious to enjoy the fruits of the tree, and therefore constantly going from one branch to the next, trying to eat these fruits. Sometimes the fruits are very sweet and he enjoys, how nice. And sometimes the fruits are very bitter and he suffers like anything. But the other bird sitting next to him is not at all concerned with the fruits of this tree. The other bird is simply out of love, waiting for this foolish bird to turn to him. Because as soon as that bird turns to him, the original bird, all of his desires will be fulfilled. Because that original bird is the reservoir of all pleasure. So similarly, as the Paramatma, the Supreme Absolute Truth, Lord Hari, is situated within our heart, Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam Hriday Shirdrinatishtiti Brahmayan Sarva Bhutanam Yantra Rudanimaya. And he is simply waiting for us. But we are so foolish, like that crazy bird. We are so attached to enjoying the fruits of this world that we are completely neglecting the source of all pleasure who is seated within our heart. And in the search for the happiness of the fruits of material life, sometimes we get pleasure and we're happy. But sometimes, despite our desires to enjoy, the bitter fruit of suffering comes into our life. And birth after birth after birth after birth, we are wasting our existence trying to enjoy the fruits of this world. And through all this, our eternal friend, seated within our heart, is simply waiting for us to turn to him. So how long will we waste the valuable energy that God has given us in this human birth? Ayurharati bhai pungsam. It is said in Bhagavatam that with every rising and setting of the sun, you are one day closer to death. And you only have so many days to live in this life. Durlabha manava janma lobhya samsare. There is nothing more precious, nothing more valuable than the human life, because it is the only opportunity to link up with God and find real pleasure, ananda. And we only have hopes. We only have a limited number of heartbeats. We only have a limited number of breaths within this life. And every breath and every beat of the heart that we waste trying to enjoy this world, we are cheating ourselves of the greatest opportunity that is at hand. And no one else is to blame except ourselves. So therefore it is described that the greatest misfortune is one moment that is not spent in God consciousness. There is no greater tragedy in all of life, because you cannot buy that moment back for anything. Krishna says in Gita, Manmana Bhavamad Bhakto Madhyajim Namaskar.
guru, mam evaishasi satyam te prati jani priyoshne.
Always think of me. Become my devotee. Worship me and offer your homage unto me.
In this way you will come to me without fail.
How to always think of Krishna?
It is very simple. By hearing about him,
by associating with saintly persons, and by chanting his holy names, we can always keep our consciousness in contact with the Supreme Consciousness. In this human life, it is said, which is very rare, the rarest thing is the association of sadhus. Durlabha manava janma lobhya samsare. There is nothing more precious. There is no greater benediction given by God than the association of sadhus. Sadhu satsang. Because it is by their blessings, by their mercy, by inquiring them from them submissively and rendering service to them, that is the process God has given in which He reveals Himself to us through our heart. And the most glorious and illustrious message of the sadhus and of the scriptures, Harinama Harinam Harinam Eva Kevalam Kalo Nasteva 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 Gatiravita, that in this age of Kali Yuga, anyone, however degraded, however pious or impious, however educated or uneducated, rich or poor, whoever you are, by simply vibrating the holy name and associating with saintly persons, you can attain the supreme perfection of consciousness. Krishna consciousness. So, the reason people go to great holy places like Bhadrikashram is to fulfill the goal of the human form of life. When we go to these holy places and associate with the holy people who are residing there, our whole consciousness becomes surcharged with the mercy of God. A profound remembrance of the purpose of life penetrates into our heart. To go to these holy places where the Lord has performed His pastime is considered by all the great souls one of the most important items to help us in our spiritual advancement. But when we go to these holy places, it should not be for a vacation. It should not be to perform some ritual. It should not be to ask God for some benediction of this world, for wealth, or health, or fame, or victory. We should understand the mood and spirit of Narayan Rishi. We should understand the lesson that they have taught us, that there is nothing valuable in this world apart from God. But in relationship to God, everything in this world has ultimate, eternal, and infinite value. Om Purnam Ada Purnam Idam Purnam Purnam Udachite Purnasya Purnam Adya Purnam Evadashishite. The Absolute Truth is perfect and complete, and everything emanating from Him is perfect and complete. The things of this world that are used for the pleasure of Krishna, in the service of Krishna, those things have infinite value. But as soon as we take anything for our own sense enjoyment, that same object simply becomes the cause of bondage and ultimate suffering in our life. And this is the lesson of Narayana Rishi. Be attracted to Krishna. Utilize everything in the loving service of the Lord. That is the perfection of life. And let us go to these great holy places, like Vrindavan, Ayodhya, Dwarka, Rameshwaram, Jagannath Puri, Bhadrikashram, Let us go to these great holy places. Let us associate with the saintly persons there for one purpose alone, to purify our consciousness and to awaken love of God from within our heart, to detach ourselves from the spirit of sense enjoyment and attach ourselves to the service of God and the service of His devotees. That is the greatest perfection of life. So we are very, very happy and honored that Rahulji Maharaj, Shankaraji have come to Bombay. It is like Padre Vishal himself through them has come down from that high mountain in the Himalayas to remind us of the real goal of life. Thank you very much.